Thank you for tuning in this morning to hear Brother Tommy Ledford with The Truth Ministries. Listen every Sunday morning for his weekly message and follow him on the web at www.thetruthministries.us.
Good morning. Good morning. Glad to be here again with y'all live. I brought a friend here this morning, Brother David Clark. Amen. He's a Sunday school teacher at Bethel Holiness Church there on Cassett, right in between the Toyota lots, right behind there. And I really enjoyed hearing, but I'll be honest with you. He's not really that good a Sunday school teacher because he don't give anybody else any chance. He's a preacher. You know, it's hard for a preacher to be a Sunday school teacher, but he's a fine preacher. And I asked him to come and share the word with us this morning.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Brother Ledford, for inviting me here today. And thank you for this opportunity. I'll be honest with y'all, this is my first time on the radio. So if I'm not as polished and eloquent as Brother Ledford here, you just have to forgive me. But I want to talk to you about something this morning that the Lord laid on my heart for everybody here. And I hope you'll follow along with me and everybody listening. I appreciate you tuning in. I've been praying about this, and I hope that the Lord will bless you and use these words to encourage you today. I'm going to read something out of the book of Leviticus, chapter 17. Leviticus 17, verse number 11. It says here, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." I'm going to read that one more time, make sure everybody heard it good. "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul." I want to talk to you this morning, just a few minutes here. I know that we're time constraints. I'm going to try to get it all in, but on nothing but the blood. There's a lot of different beliefs or methods today in the world where people will try to convince you that there's a lot of different ways to reach heaven or to be in tune with God or to be saved. But today I want to share with you in Scripture what the purpose of the blood is and why we refer to the blood in the Bible. I know there may be some people listening today that have not been raised in church or maybe not familiar with a lot of the terminology we use. Something I want to bring to your attention is that Christianity is viewed as viewed by the world as a weak way out, as a way to reason away reality, and that we talk to an imaginary friend or whatever, or there are some folks that just think that being a Christian is about things being easy and just everything's going to be good all the time. But I want to point your attention to the Bible this morning. This Bible is a bloody book. From the beginning to the end of it, it's about the blood. It's about sacrifice, and it was not always a pretty picture. We read here out of the Old Testament this morning. We know the Levitical law and how that it was required by everyone that once a year they bring a sacrifice to the temple for the priest to offer up for the sins of their household, and how that there were certain sacrifices that demanded certain types of things. And so I want to look at that this morning in our way to talk about the blood today. All who read the Bible, they are confronted with the reality that all men are sinful, and the payment for all sin is blood. Because of sin, which causes spiritual death, something had to be offered in its place which was precious and valuable. There was never a sacrifice given in the Old Testament that was not something that was of value to the person offering it. Back in the day, it was not always the money system like we have now, but they traded lambs and goats and ox and different things. They were valuable. A man's riches were based upon his possessions. And so when he raised a lamb or whenever they offered a lamb, it was not something that he just had extra, but it was valuable to him. And so this sacrifice was something that cost something. A lot of families, all they had to offer was that one animal, but they knew that yearly that animal had to be offered. There was no excuses, but if their sins were to be forgiven, there had to be a sacrifice for that household. It had to be bloodshed. It had to happen, or else the sins would not be forgiven. Now, it says here in the Leviticus 17 and 11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. I want to talk about that this morning, because in some of the types of sacrifices, they would offer different parts of the animal. But I want to look at the sin offering, which Leviticus 4 talks about. You can read that later. The sin offering was very particular. That entire animal was not offered on the altar, carcass of that animal, per se. It was only the blood and the fat of that animal that was offered in that sacrifice. Now, I want to talk about that for just a second if you're not familiar, but that family would give that lamb to the priest. And that priest would kill that animal, and the blood would be sprinkled on that altar in to provide remission for the sins of that family. Now, why is it that they would offer only the blood and not the rest of that animal? And in studying this and looking into commentaries and things, I was learning about this as I was studying, that the blood of that animal was offered because it was the life of that animal. It signified that the life had gone out. It was total sacrifice unto God. And not only that, but the animal itself, the meat from that animal, was cast away. It was burnt afterwards, because that animal could not be eaten. It was completely and totally dedicated unto God. But the blood of that animal was what was significant. It had to be shed. It required blood for that. A family would raise this lamb, feeding it and nurturing it, keeping it in good health, preparing it for the day when they would have to offer it upon the altar for payment of sins committed that year. There was a lot of preparation for this. That lamb was of value. It was a very healthy lamb. They had to feed it. Every time the children, I'm sure, went out to do their chores and to feed the animals, they had to nurture this lamb from a baby. They had to make sure that it was fed well and that it was cleaned. And when they brought it to the temple to offer it up, when it came time for atonement, that lamb was something they had made an investment into. It was precious to them. No doubt if they were to sell that lamb, it would probably bring them a lot of money that they could have no doubt used to provide for their family. So it costs something. You know, I've heard the phrase before that, you know, give till it hurts. And that's the way that this was. They had to give something that actually was hurt. It actually hurt them to give it. It could have been beneficial to them, but in order for their sins to be forgiven in the Old Testament, it had to be that lamb. Now, other offerings are mentioned in the Mosaic Law. The other offerings include the burnt offering, the meat offering, the peace offering, the trespass offering, and all of these are very important. You can read back through them, but I want to focus on that sin offering this morning. And we know that today we don't have to go into the temple anymore and offer up a lamb for the remission of sin. And the reason that is because in the New Testament, Christ came and he broke that old veil. That veil was torn in the temple when Christ died on Calvary. And so now we talk about the blood, we talk about salvation through the blood, but when we say that, we're giving reference to those old sacrifices that had to be made. Whenever the Old Testament was coming to an end and we were going into the New Testament, God sent his only Son. John 3:16, we all know that scripture says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. That word gave there doesn't mean he sent his Son, but he sacrificed his Son. Jesus became the blood offering for you and I. Now, I know there's a lot of information in between these two happenings here, but for time constraint purposes, I want you to know that Jesus has replaced those old sacrificial offerings. Now, the blood that was shed on that altar in the Old Testament, it was complete death to that animal. He had to die. There was never a time when the animal was kept alive, but that entire animal had to be healed and the blood shed. That blood was the life of that animal. Today, I want to share with you that the only way to have remission of sin, the only forgiveness of sin, is through the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no other way today. Healing was provided in the atonement, and forgiveness of sin, victory over death, hell, and the grave. But the only way that we have access to these are through the blood of Christ. Now, what does that mean? What is that meaning behind that? Because it's not just a figurative thing, but literally the blood that Christ shed on Calvary has to be applied to the heart of the believer. There has to be a traumatic experience in our life where we have come to the knowledge that we need a Savior. We have to come to the knowledge that there is no other way, that Christ died for us, and without his blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. There is no other way to reach God. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." That means that only through the blood of Jesus can we be forgiven of sin. There is no other way. Now, how does a person come in contact with that blood? Jesus is not here anymore. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's already gave his life, resurrected again. So how do we come in contact with the blood of Jesus if we are to have our sins forgiven? That's a good question. I'm glad you're asking me that this morning, because there is a way. The Bible says if a man confess with his mouth and believe in his heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then he'll be saved. What does that mean? The moment that you and I recognize that we need a Savior, that we are not able to save ourselves from our own sin, then we can go to God. We can go to Christ. We don't have to go through a priest or a rabbi or any other religious leader. The Bible says we can come boldly into the throne room of grace. Now, the veil has been rent. Christ died on the cross. There is no other avenues we have to go through. We can march directly up to Christ, and we can say, "Lord, forgive me of my sins. Let the blood of Christ be applied to my life today. Let me be filled with your love and your mercy. Save me from my sin. Let the blood of Christ cover and wash my sins." And instantaneously, my friend, the blood of Jesus can cleanse from every sin. Now, that raises a lot of questions with people, because there are some that believe that only some people can be saved, and that only good folks can go to heaven, and only this certain people, you know. And I know there are communities here in Florida and around places where, you know, only the quality folks have certain last names or from certain families or certain backgrounds. But the ground is level at the foot of the cross today. The blood of Jesus applies to every heart and every life. Everybody can be saved. The only unforgivable sin, the Bible says, is the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Other than that, you can be saved. Now, I know there are some people that think, well, what about murderers and rapists? What about drug dealers? What about all these different things? And my answer to that is, the Bible says, "My grace is sufficient for you." There's nobody that the Bible says that the blood cannot save. Jesus is more than able to save anybody from any sin. Do you believe that this morning? Is there anybody out there listening to the sound of my voice that doubts that God can save you from your sin? Because the devil would love to have you believe today that you can't be saved. Now listen. Excuse me. There was never a time in that Old Testament where the people would take a lamb or a goat or whatever to that priest, and they would hand it to him and say, "You know, I hope that this will satisfy. I hope that this will do the work." They knew the law, that blood was required, and they took the law for what it meant, that if they do their part and they offer that sacrifice for sin, then it would be sufficient to save that household. Now, it didn't matter through the year what the sin might be. Maybe it was an unconfessed sin they weren't even aware of. We have that happen now. There's days where we can do something and unintentionally we have allowed something in our mind, or we've said something to injure somebody, or we've offended someone, maybe unknowingly. But the Holy Ghost brings that to our attention, and at that point, We are required to repent over that thing and make it right. Now, unintentional sin or unconfessed sin, maybe it was a willing sin. Maybe there's something that happened and somebody had given into temptation. They'd take that lamb or that sacrifice at the Day of Atonement. They'd go to that priest and they would offer that sacrifice. Now, there was never a doubt in those folks' mind that that sacrifice was enough because that's what the law called for. So today I would challenge you to read the scripture, read through the New Testament, how Christ died. He was the prophesied lamb for the house. He was the given remission of sins. Christ died for our sins. I want to read you something here out of the book of Hebrews that's going to talk some more about this. Christ came to be the sacrificial lamb. Now, I know there's a lot of religions. I know there's a lot of different varieties of people. And I'm not here to make anybody mad, but I want to tell you the truth of the word this morning. Amen. That the only way to make it, the only way to get to God, the only way to be saved, the only way to make heaven your home is to go by the way of the cross of Christ, to go by the way of this precious Lamb of God who gave his sin for the, who gave his life, his blood for the remission of sin. Now, I'm going to read you something here. First, let's go to Matthew. I want to read Matthew 26. I was going to go on to Hebrews here, but I want to read you Matthew 26. Now, listen to Matthew 26 and 27 here. Matthew 26, 27 said, "And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying," now this is Christ talking, "drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin." Now listen to me here. That word remission there is very important. That's something that we've got to get a hold of today, or this isn't going to make any difference to you. That word remission there, it means to do away with, to eliminate. There is no sin that is left after they have been remitted. You know, you go up to a chalkboard and you wipe away that chalk that was there. That writing's no longer existing. You have omitted that chalk off of that chalkboard. You wash away stains out of your clothes. It washes and purifies. You don't put those clothes back on if you got good stain remover and wear that stain around. You wash it out of there. My wife spends many days over the washing machine. I got three boys and they're always staining something up, but she pours that stain remover on there and she gets those stains out of those clothes. She is omitting those stains from those clothes. That's exactly what the blood of Jesus has done for our sins. He totally removes them from our life. And I want to insert this here. If you've been saved, and if you've been born again and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, like we're talking about this morning, your past and your sins have been covered by the blood. Don't look back. Don't go wandering back into that tomb where Jesus resurrected from. Leave your sin in that grave, resurrect in a new life, and carry on and serve God. It's the blood of Jesus that makes us cleansed and free from sin. There is no other way. I know a lot of people like to go back and they like to toss up things that you did. They like to remind you of where you come from. But I like a song that a sister used to sing. You can search on and on forever. You can turn your searchlight on to try and prove that I'm guilty for the things that I've done. But the bottom line of that is that all of my sins are somewhere under the blood today. The blood that cleanses from sin and from shame. Listen to me. I know that there is nobody under the sound of my voice, these radio waves going out there to all the surrounding areas, that Jesus cannot save you from your sin. I know he can. I know that the blood is more than enough today to right all the wrongs that you have done. You must confess, believe in your heart, repent of those sins, and Christ will save you and forgive you today of those sins. Now, Jesus died one time to offer his own life for one time, for a one-time sacrifice that would cancel the sin debt of everyone everywhere forever. It only took one sacrifice. It only took one bloodshed of Christ, and he completely replaced not just the sin sacrifice, but also the peace sacrifice, and also the sacrifice for everything else, all those other things I named. He took the place of all of those sacrifices today. We don't have to go and offer lambs or sheep or goats or anything else. Christ was the one-time remission for sins for all of eternity. Now all we have to do is accept what Christ has done and let that blood be applied to our heart, and he has paid the price. Walk in the light as he is in the light, and you'll be saved. Believe and confess with your mouth. Now, the problem with this is a lot of preachers, a lot of folks, a lot of ministries would say, you just repeat this small prayer after me and you'll be saved. Lord Jesus, I confess my sin. I believe you're the Savior. Now save me. I want to live forever and I want to always be happy. And they turn and walk away, and they never give God a second thought. But the Bible says that when a man is born again, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It's a newness in Christ Jesus that only the blood can give. My pastor, when he was alive, used to say, you know how I know I've been born again? Because I've had a change in nature. I love the brethren. I love the fellowship. I love to worship. Listen to me. The blood makes all the difference this morning. It doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, how low that you've sunk. When Jesus saved me, he had to reach below the bottom. I was buried underneath the foundation. I mean, I was low, as low as you can get. But one experience with Christ, come in contact with one drop of this precious blood, it changed everything. It totally cleaned me up, and it gave me a new mind and a new heart in a way that I had never experienced before. He saved me, and listen to me, he can do the same thing for you this morning. I want to read on here. Listen, Hebrews chapter 9, turn with me to Hebrews. Chapter 9. If you got your Bibles there, let's read together. Chapter 9. I'm going to do a good bit of reading here, but it's very important that you hear this. I want you to know what Hebrews says about our Lord this morning. Hebrews 9. I'm going to start in verse number 1. Then verily, the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the shewbread, which was called the sanctuary. After the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak of particularly. It was a sight to behold, this sanctuary. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. Verse number 8 here says the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time present, in which we were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect. Listen to me. He said, which could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on him until the time of reformation. Verse number 11, but Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of an eternal inheritance. Listen to me. He completely replaced that old law, that old sacrifice, and he had to do it only one time. The blood of Christ Jesus is more than able to make us perfect. The Bible says it can make us perfect. Those old sacrifices were not able to make a man perfect, to clean him up. But it was the law. It covered that house. But today, the blood of Jesus is able to make you perfect, make you spotless, make you holy in the sight of God, that when he looks at you, all he can see is the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. It's him. It's that death that Jesus provided to us. I want to tell you something today. You may think that you're at the bottom, but listen to me. I know that if you can muster up enough faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, he can save you. He can deliver you. There's not a sin or not a failure that Christ cannot provide remission for those sins. He can blot it out today. The Lamb has been slain for the house. There's a sacrifice for you today. Christ, the Son of God, gave it all so that you could come to the knowledge of this saving grace. Listen to me. The very first covenant that the Bible gave, that old sacrifice, it had to be repeated over and over. It had to constantly be given every year. But listen to me, when Christ came, he died one time, and that was enough. That covered everything. You may think, well, I failed God. I've been saved before, but I fell away. I failed God. Well, get back up, brother. Confess those faults. Believe the Lord. Say, God, forgive me. I got to press on. That blood is enough today. Don't fall by the wayside. Don't give in. I know a lot of new converts come into the church and they get saved, and after a couple of days, they discover that they cannot live day to day without confessing something to the blood of, for the blood of Jesus to cover. It's impossible for you and I to live without him. We've got to have the blood to cover our sins. But I want to encourage you today. Listen to Colossians 1:21 says, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Thank God that Jesus has made it possible for me to be grafted into the family of God by his own blood. I want to thank you for listening to me today. I'm going to turn this back over to Brother Ledford.
Praise God. If that don't get you going, I don't know what will. Amen. I know that you are able. If you'll just come unto knowledge, this right here is enough word to save the world. Tune in. And I want y'all to tune in again next week. And may God bless you.
Thank you again for tuning in this morning to hear Brother Tommy Ledford. Please follow on the web at www.thetruthministries.us, where you can get information about their prison ministry, tent meetings, and preaching points. Thank you, and God bless you.
You want information and insight? We've got it. The Dennis Prager Show at noon at WBOB.
This is Michael Savage telling you the way it is and why it is. Weekday afternoons at 3 on WBOB.